Hello everyone, it's Kay. As expected, I've had a lot of messages since the last episode. I think before anything, I want to clarify a few things. Yes, I saw Mason at the quarry with his father. After the fire, after Lawrence's arrest. I stand by that. I wish my recordings were clear proof for you, and for police. I followed Otto Miller, thinking he was just a father covering for his son. I left seeing things I didn't have the vocabulary to explain. For those still skeptical, thank you for your lovely emails. Before this, I didn't believe in ghosts. Not a surprise, I'm sure. So, possibly seeing one? Telling the world I saw one? It shook me up. I didn't know if Mason Miller was alive or dead. Mason urged his father to go to the police for framing Lawrence Goddard. Otto said he needed the house to burn. He needed Mason to die. I'd seen Otto stand up and the whole room bend and disappear, including his own son. Then Mason stood over his father, engulfed in flames, just like the burning boy caught on video. That must have been him. I sat down and listed every question I could think of. Why were Otto and Mason secretly meeting in a quarry? Why did Otto need him to die? Did he succeed in killing Mason? Was Mason a ghost, or was it something else? Why did he need the house to burn? How was Mason's viola both here and in police custody? Why did Otto frame Lawrence Goddard? Otto said he was losing control. Losing control of what? I'd seen the room around Otto vanish. His son vanish. The biggest question? What had I seen? Otto Miller could do something, but I didn't know what. He'd framed Lawrence Goddard, but I didn't know why. I'd seen Mason Miller, but I didn't know how. This is Up in Smoke, the strange case of missing teenager Mason Miller. I'm Kay McAllister. I don't remember getting home from the quarry that night, but I did, because the next thing I remember, I'm sitting at my kitchen table, scribbling an attempt at an article for the Meteor. An apology to Lawrence. Everything I'd just witnessed, the safe numbers, in the back of my mind, this was a testimonial. Just in case. I hear the door. Otto's back. The man who knew all along what happened to Mason is living under my roof. He heads straight to the bedroom. I hope this means he didn't see me following him. Then the stairs creak. Somebody's coming back down. I hurriedly hit send on the article to my editor and grab my recorder.
Okay, sorry.
Otto is moving around and you're still awake.
In my panic, I realised I'd let my account into the world before even telling Lindsay.
So I was worried. Did you talk to Otto?
You can hear the forced calm in her voice. It's painful to listen to. She's waiting for me to tell her whether she can trust her husband. I stay silent for too long.
Yeah. He told me the code, did he?
I want to spare her the detail, but my rashness sending the article makes that impossible now. So I make a decision.
I saw Otto. With Mason.
What?
At the Stoneckham Quarry. They were both there.
Saw Mason alive. Where?
I think.
You think? Kay, I need to know what...
It's strange. Oh, fuck. Lindsay, I saw...
Otto knows Mason's alive.
Well, yes. But Linz...
I tell Lindsay everything. Ghosts and all. I see tears in her eyes. I see the hope turn into... Well, I'll play the tape.
Linz?
What's going on?
I know it sounds mental,
You can't just make allegations like this.
What? No, Linz, maybe this is good news.
I've come to terms with the idea that my baby is probably dead. I'm not stupid, but he's not a ghost.
I'm not sure what he is. He vanished.
Shut up!
I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said anything.
You're bloody right, you shouldn't. Otto is dying, Kay. He's a dying man, and Mason is dead. And he died, and he's fucking gone, and it's not fair for you to tell me that he isn't.
I know, but...
You're into spirits now, are you?
I don't know either. It's just what I saw... No, Linz.
I'm going to check on my husband. And, I mean, you obviously need to get some rest. In your own bed. I think maybe we should find somewhere else to stay.
When the workday begins, I get a phone call. It's my editor. She's never this friendly. She calls me in, sits me down in her office. She's rightfully confused about what she's read. Embarrassed that police debunked my scoop about Lawrence loading a body into his car. About why I'd suddenly changed my tune. She's worried about my mental state. Maybe I should be too. She suspends me with immediate effect, but doesn't pass the article on to anyone else. When I get home, there's a note. I still have it. Lindsay's handwriting. It simply says, "I pray when this is done, we can reunite and be friends once more." Otto and Lindsay are gone. Now, I'm sure Otto knows why. Now I need to move fast.
Yeah, I was cross because it was my day off.
Roy Burgess, during my recent visit.
First we're moving them out of Goddard's to the safe house. Then we take them from the safe house to yours. Now we've got to move them back to the safe house again. I couldn't keep up.
Can you remember what you thought when Lindsay told you why?
I thought you'd lost your mind, if I'm being honest, Kay.
This way then, is it?
After my encounter with Otto, I wanted to revisit the quarry. This time, I convinced police to come with me. I need to see it for myself. It's the best place to start, and a police escort feels safer than going back alone.
Behind there, yep.
We have torches this time. I show the police where I'd been standing, where I'd seen Otto and Mason.
Around here, did you say, madam?
Pretty much. I did say you wouldn't find anything.
Yeah.
It felt like a
room, he said.
There, scorch marks.
Yeah, sure, but from the photos, it looked like a burn mark.
What ghost leaves physical evidence?
Kids mucking around or whatever.
I played you the tape.
Yeah, but... Yeah, I mean... I don't know what to say, sorry.
Nobody could identify the voices. With all the voice analysis tech in the world, it just wasn't good enough quality. End of. In just one morning, I'd lost my prime suspect, two close friends, and possibly my job. It's 3 days later. I'm still on my bed refreshing Twitter. I swipe Dylan's texts away. Every few hours, another email to my editor. Please, I'm so bored. She stops replying. I start trying to piece together everything I saw. I guess to try and process it. It feels like one of those montages in the movie where the detective goes through all the clues on a big corkboard and solves the mystery. But a really depressing version where at the end I'm more confused and crying. Eventually, I admit, there are some things I just can't explain. All I know is that Lawrence Goddard is innocent. Otto has all the answers, and the wrong person is sitting in prison, at least in some part, because of me. On top of this, Otto knows I know. In the heat of the moment, I make a regrettable decision. My logic was this. If something was going to happen to me, I needed to get my story out as fast as possible, to as many people as possible. I didn't stop to think about how that might sound, but I was desperate to share what I'd seen. I just wanted to discuss it with someone who knew the Miller case and who wouldn't laugh at me or get angry when I told them what I'd seen. The sort of person who perhaps I wouldn't have believed a few days before.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to our lovely, cozy channel. May peace and tranquility be with you today in a world so full of wickedness.
I did say I wouldn't censor my mistakes. This is Grace Argyle, the YouTube medium. You've been hearing from her throughout the series.
Let's check that we're live. And yes, good. Oh, so many of you darlings. Hello, hello. Hi, Tracy. I see you there in the comments. Hi, Fraser. Hi, sweetie. Hi.
When you've seen hello, something everyone. Supernatural, who else do you turn to? Grace Argyle was a psychic, a spirit channeler. She made a fame claiming to connect the bereaved with their dead loved ones. On YouTube, for profit. She was very charismatic. Big brown eyes, long wavy hair, usually held back with a headband. Came across very mumsy. I could see why people subscribed to her. I went down a bit of a rabbit hole of her videos myself. She'd been saying since the beginning she could talk to the dead, that she'd even spoken to Mason. I have to admit, since the quarry, I'd wondered if people like Grace could just maybe be genuine. She'd been doing tours around the key spots in Greenlock, public seances where people could ask Mason questions. Out of options, maybe I could get some answers from Mason directly. But, as with everything, there's a catch. Grace charges hundreds of pounds an hour, which journalism just doesn't pay. But I do have street cred, and Grace Argyle has a live audience on YouTube to satisfy. She agrees to talk to me about what I'd seen, if I agree to have that conversation live on YouTube. A chance to get the truth out now Otto knew I'd seen him. This decision was a perfect example of my mindset at the time.
So, if you're already subscribed to my channel, you may have seen my very successful videos where I speak with the poor boy, Mason Miller. Well, today, I have a very special guest, a familiar face indeed. It's the famous Kay McAllister.
Hi.
I believe you have some sensitivity to the spirit world.
Not sure, honestly.
Well, you did the right thing by coming to me. As there are good spirits in this world, there are also bad ones. This is a dangerous thing to do without an expert.
There's a bowl of water on the table in front of us. Two white candles. Grace claims they draw in higher spirits. She chats with you as her production team lower the lights.
We've held back on the details until now, but I do know that you've had some connection with Mason recently. Is that right?
Well, something like that. I've seen him, and I need some answers about what I saw.
We can absolutely do that, sweetie. So we're going to reach out to Mason again tonight to speak to him directly from Kay's heart to his. I need you all to channel your inner peace at home, okay, lovelies? Okay, so Kay, I invite you to take my hand on the table here, and I want you to visualise Mason for me. Can you do that?
Sure.
Good. And I want you to really see him so clearly for me that it feels like he's right in front of you. Mason, if you're here with us, I invite you now to step forward.
We sit for a few minutes. I watch the incense burn from across the room. The camerawoman waves at me to close my eyes.
That's good. That's it. Something's coming through now.
What do you...
Shh, shh, shh. Yeah. He's here. Yeah, he's... Let me just... Oh, Mason, hello. Grip my hand.
Okay.
Mason, love, how are you? It's Grace. You remember me? Oh, of course you do. Nice to see you too. Oh, what a darling. Mason, I'm here with someone you know. It's Kay. You remember Kay? Okay, Mason has a message for you.
Mm-hmm.
I understand. Okay. Okay, yeah, he says he's been looking out for you, watching over you. He says that in times of distress, we must find solace in what we can. He bears no ill will for you being friends with Lawrence Goddard. He says you weren't to know. Isn't that nice?
I don't know if that's quite right. Can I ask him about what I saw so we can...
He sends love to his family, to his many supporters for bringing Lawrence Goddard to justice.
Hang on, that's something I want to ask. I don't think Lawrence Goddard
took
him.
A teacher in love with a student. What a betrayal. Mason is satisfied with how we've handled this.
It dawns on me. Grace couldn't let me say Lawrence was innocent. That discredits her. No, wait, I've seen him, Grace. I want to ask him.
Me too. He's at peace.
No, he isn't. I saw him the other night. Let me ask him.
Now, okay, we understand this is a troubling time.
Troubling?
But...
No, I saw him in Stone Eckham Quarry. He wasn't alone.
Kay, remember, we need to let Mason tell his own story here.
No, I'm sorry. I have to stop this. I thought you were going to let me speak with him. I saw Mason with his dad, with Otto Miller. He's framed Lawrence Goddard and he's getting away with it. He burned his own house down. Mason disappeared. I don't know. In front of me, he shimmered. And then he burst into flames. Are you laughing at me?
Otto burst into flames, did he?
No, Mason did.
Let's be realistic, shall we, Kay?
Realistic.
I should say that Kay's words are her own and don't reflect mine or my company's.
Well, they should. I'm telling you what I saw.
Okay, dear. Listen to me now, and everyone watching this. Hear yourself. Otto Miller is a victim. The Millers are victims. Imagine what they've been through, and you have the gall to gatecrash our lovely community here and make outlandish claims that somehow a dying father chose to commit arson on his own property and hide his son. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Wow, okay.
I'm sorry, everyone. Thank you for coming tonight. I'm afraid I think we'll have to leave it there for now, but as always, don't forget to like and subscribe. You can find...
It's a hard day when a psychic tells you to be realistic. I dared to hope that Grace might actually listen to me. That she might be without agenda. But she was just like everyone else. Only with more incense. Grace's credibility relied on Lawrence being guilty. She wasn't going to give that up for me. I was fired from the Meteor. My Twitter following actually grew after the seance. But it was a lot of gifs of cartoon ghosts. The only thing worse than being hated was being ridiculed. I'd gone to Grace hoping for evidence of Mason. Get him to give me some answers. Playing that audio back today, my desperation had made me naive. And after all that, 3 days later, it was my birthday. I didn't feel like opening the cards.
There are less perceptible consequences of tragedy, too.
Dylan Michaels, at his show, reading from his book.
We all know what happened to Mason's parents, but few ever asks what happened to the village as a whole. And I have to say, for me, the saddest decline came in the form of my first boss, Kay McAllister. Like Icarus, she flew too close to the sun. She wasn't meant for the limelight, and it burnt her. Some of you reading this might think it served her right. She obviously craved attention. And you are right. Looking back, I think she did. But I, for one, pity what she became. When you think about the strong woman who let the world know about the Greenlock tragedy, who helped put the villain away, it is sad to see her turn to the world and tell them, sincerely, that she sees ghosts.
Next time on Up in Smoke, the search for answers. And finally, the breakthrough I need.
From Penny 4, this is Up in Smoke, written and directed by Guy Larson and Cambria Bailey-Jones. Our editors were Dan Pugsley and Guy Larson. The studio producer was Gabriella Jones. Theme music by Tom Larson, with mixing and sound design by Dan Pugsley and Cassini Sound. Our script editors were Gabriella Jones, Peter Fellows and George Riley, casting by Sydney Aldridge. Kay McAllister was played by Mae Mack. DCI Roy Burgess was Adam Buxton, Lindsay Miller was Tracy Wiles, Grace Argyle was Han Evans, Dylan Michaels was Preston Nyman. Additional voices by Guy Larson and Julian Bailey-Jones. Music by Ian Post, Alan Peretz, Gruber, Theatre of Delays, Liquid Memoirs, Yotam Agam, Akaya and Charlie Ryan, courtesy of Artlist. Special thanks to Joe Tyler, London South Bank University, and Janet Jones. You can follow Up in Smoke on Instagram. We're at upinsmoke.podcast. This was a Penny 4 production.